Hear our cry, Lord, we pray. Our faces down, our hands are raised. We need your light, Lord, shine your light. If we've ever needed you, Lord, it's now. Lord, it's now.
Good morning. So good to see you this morning. We want to welcome you to the Boones Mill Church of the Brethren as we come together to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. For those that might be outside having the service broadcast into their automobiles, we want to welcome you to our service as well. We're just glad to be able to be here and to have God encounter us. And we're praying that God will speak to us, the Holy Spirit will move among us, and that we will leave blessed and changed as God comes into our lives. So again, I just want to say welcome. We're glad that you're here this morning. We live in tough times. How do you make it through those kind of times? Where do you get the power that you need to face the things that we seem to be facing in our world? If I were to ask you, what's wrong with the world? What would you say? Would your response be, well, the problems in the world, what's wrong with the world is terrorism, the pandemic, war, drugs, crime, climate warming? That might be some of your responses. Let me ask you another question. Would you say that the day that we live in right now is the worst time in human history? Well, it would be easy to portray the world that we live in right now as being worse than ever, simply because we know so much more now than we ever did before. But our perceptions is at odds with reality. Our perception is at odds with facts and truth and statistics. They don't match up, our reality and those truths. It's all just far more advertised and sensationalized now, so we instinctively believe that the day that we live in is worse than ever before. Nowadays, with the internet, there is no limit to how much information we can access. And while previously, ages before, years before, we were in the dark about what was going on, there is simply just no limit to the amount of data out there now. We are overwhelmed by it. We don't even know how to process it or what to do with it. Whereas in the times before the internet and before social media era, that was not the case. Unfortunately, to compound this situation we find ourselves in, the bad things are the ones that always get into the forefront, and this is by design. We humans are wired to pay 10 times more attention to negative news than positive news. It's in our DNA, it's in our genetics, it's in our makeup. Being able to pay attention to negative news has an advantage to keeping us alive. If we'll pay attention to the dangers that are out there, if we'll pay attention to the things that can harm us, we will be able to better survive the things that we face in the world. So we're wired 10 times more likely to gravitate toward bad news, negative news, than good news. But however, paying attention to negative news is used against us. The news media knows this, and they use it against us. They take advantage of it. They take advantage of us and drive our eyeballs to their advertisement, and they show that because they know we're more than likely will come to this. And despite all the fear and all the scare, and contrary to the popular misconceptions that many people have, the world, statistically and factually speaking, has never been in better shape. Life for almost all people on this planet has never been in better shape. Would you know that? Would you even consider believing that? Right now, we're actually living in the safest and most prosperous time and the most educated time and the most health-caring time that we have ever lived in human history. So why do so many people think the world is worse now than it has ever been? Having more information at our fingertips is a double-edged sword. While we live in a world of easy access to information and we know more than ever before, we also live in a world of misinformation. And that is the danger, and that is the downfall. Misinformation, which is generally designed to manipulate us to think a certain way, is what is creating so much brokenness and heartache in our world that we live today. You may have been fooled many times before without even knowing it. You ever heard of clickbait headlines? Do you know what a clickbait headline is? These are designed to spark fear and negative emotions in you, but generally they have no factual basis, or at the most they have greatly been exaggerated factual base behind them. But if it gets your attention, that will be something that you will find on your phone or your computer or your notepad or whatever. They're going to put just enough that you read enough that in that fear and thought that you want to click on it and see what that's all about. Now, once you do, the algorithms are going to all of a sudden say this person is attracted to that, and they will start sending you just that kind of information so that you have clicked on it before, you're more than likely going to click on it again. And all of it is for the purpose that advertisers get money every time you click on one of these things. Now, what happened here in the last several years that people have been clicking on these, it has no information, it has no truth, but it's exciting and it draws you to it. And you read this misinformation and all of a sudden you keep going in that direction because it keeps being sent to you. And all of a sudden what you have is just an overwhelming amount of misinformation, but it seems so believable. And because of the fear that you have to protect yourself, you're going to follow that advice because you don't want anything harmful to happen to you. But at the same time, the very harm that you have is what probably will destroy you because it's not truth. For example, anytime a plane crashes anywhere, let's say you hear of an airplane crash, 120 people on board, and that happens occasionally, but it's rare, and you will hear about it over and over on the news and online because you're interested in knowing what that is, and you click on it, and you want to see it, and they feed you more and more, and You won't hear a peep, however, over the fact that 3,000 people die in car crashes every day. 120 people in a plane crash might happen occasionally. 3,000 people in an automobile die every day. And you don't hear a lot about that. Unless it's something local, you might hear about one or two crashes. But the point is this. Why don't you hear about it? Well, the automobile industry don't want you to hear that. There's a lot of industries that don't want you to hear that. Because if you get fearful of that, then all of a sudden you might not be driving automobiles or buying or doing what they want you to do. They're only going to feed you the information that is helpful. The information that they want to that benefits their bottom line. We have a lot of people that don't fear driving in their cars, but many people have a fear of flying. And even though the statistics show that in reality, if you fear that you might be harmed or you're in a crash, you would far more likely be terrified of driving than you would be of flying. Or look at this. Look at terrorism and immigration. Of how scary we are of those two entities. The coverage of this can make you sound like there's a terrorist lurking around every corner. You're afraid to go out of your home, afraid to go into the shopping mall, afraid because of some terrorist. You are statistically more likely to die from being struck by lightning than you are of any kind of terrorists. And yet are we afraid of storms and we are respect lightning and we don't want to put ourselves in harm's lead. But you should be more terrified of lightning than you are of terrorists. If you're going statistically. What am I saying all of this for? It's through the constant bombardment of these clickbait style headlines. It is easy for us to become misinformed and afraid even when it makes no logical sense to be afraid. I think the pandemic has proved that in many ways. There is such a division over the health and the medical truths and the vaccinations and wearing masks that people have been so misinformed that they can't make the right decision. Many people, however, today feel powerless in their day-to-day life, and therefore they're looking, how can we get out of this mess? Where can we find the power we need to know what is truth and what is right and what we should do? Today's message that I want to share with you this morning strikes right at the heart of our deep need for power, for strength to survive. Where do you get the power to live in today's confusing world? In a world where life seems to be in a constant struggle? And where do you get the power to keep going every day of your life with all of this that we face? Well, the reality is this. Pain and sin are everywhere. That's a reality in life. Pain and sin are right here. In this church this morning, in these pews, it's here we're confronted with it. We're confronted with pain, and we're confronted with sin. And so, what do we do? How do we live above this powerless feeling that we have? It may be keeping you from living the way that God wants you. It may be keeping you from doing what God would want you to do today when you hear the Word of God, when you hear this message. God may be wanting to speak to you, and out of that feeling of powerlessness, you may not do what God would be speaking to us to do. Today's message is that you and I don't have to live a powerless life. We don't have to live that way. God has made a promise to us. And that promise is this. that you and I can experience God's unlimited, God's divine, and God's supernatural power in our lives today. And we can live the way God intended us to live, and when necessary, and we face the pain and the struggle and the problems of life and the hardship, we can do that because God is going to take our hand and lead us through those times of difficulty. God doesn't want us just to talk about this. He doesn't want you just to have me come up here this morning and to give a message and to talk about God's power. He wants you to access it. He wants it in your life. In 1 Corinthians 4:20, it said the kingdom of God is not just fancy talk. It is living by God's power. We access the truths of God's power through Him. And in the Old Testament, through His name, especially the name El Shaddai. That was a name which means, I am your all-powerful God. When that name was used in the Old Testament, when the prophets talked about it, when the Bible speaks about El Shaddai, and we often have it translated in our Bible as the Almighty God, the all-powerful God, El Shaddai was a name that the people realized, this is who God is. He's the Almighty. He's the all-powerful. God knew that we would have this need of power in our lives. God says, I'm the answer to your need. I am your all-powerful God. And we can access that power. And it says in Psalm 68, God is awesome. He gives power and strength to His people. Most of us here, we don't question that, is God powerful? Is God an almighty God? I think most of you here this morning would say, I believe that. I believe God is powerful. But what you and I question is this. Is God's power available to me this morning? Is that something I can tap into? Is that something I can have today? And if so, how do I get it? Those are the questions that we have, and I want to take a look at four promises that God gives us so that we can know how to have that power and how to tap into it. And those four things are, I will give you power when you do these things. And there are more than four, but there's going to be four that I won't think are relevant for us today and I want us to listen to. When can I count on God's power? When I'm tired. Well, that seems like all the time for me anymore. I don't even have to ask you if you're tired. I know by the fact that we're living in a third year of a pandemic, it has made us tired. God makes us a promise, though. In Isaiah 40, it says, the Lord is the everlasting God. He never grows tired or weary. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. That's me. And I think it's you. He strengthens you and He strengthens me. Those who trust the Lord for help will find the strength and their strength renewed. He gives power to those who are tired. He gives power to those who are worn out. He offers strength to the weak. That is a promise. And this is a great verse. God's power is unlimited. Do you need power this morning? Are you tired? Do you need to be refreshed and renewed? It's available. When else can I count on God's power? Not just when I'm tired. Well, second thing is, when I've got nothing to offer. When I'm depleted. God says, my power will show up when we're weak. Paul said to God, I've got this affliction. I've got this thing in my body that's making me weak, and it's painful. And he says, will you take it away from me? And God said, no. My power shows up best in weak people. And I love what Paul says, but I have trouble understanding it. It says, now I'm glad that I can boast of how weak I am and how tired I am and what's going on in my body. I'm glad to be a living demonstration of Christ's power instead of showing off my own power and abilities. In other words, if God had a heal power, had a heal Paul, he would have went around and said, you know, I've got everything made. Everything's good for me. I've got power within myself because I'm strong and I'm healthy and all of this good stuff is going on. But no, he wasn't able to do that. He realized that in his pain and in his brokenness and in his weakness, he has power to speak for God because it wasn't coming from him what he could do. It was coming from God, what God was able to do. God makes a promise. When you feel inadequate, when you feel like you've got nothing to offer, when you feel like your body is broken, he wants to invade your life with his power. Do you need to tap into a power like that? Do you need a power that goes beyond what you feel within your own body? It's available. And God gives it to you. Well, when else can I count on God's power? Well, third, I can count on God's power when I'm in pain. Some of us are in pain in this room right now, and it's very hard because we may have been in pain for a long time. Some of us have bodily pain. Some of us have emotional pain. Some of us have lost loved ones. Some of us are feeling financial pressure. Some of us are watching family members and friends self-destruct. Pain is all around us. And God promises us power in the midst of pain. In Psalm 41, it says, the Lord nurses them when they're sick and eases their pain. When we access God's power, it so invades our life that it does something above the pain we feel in our body. It gives us a soothing salve to our soul and to our heart that lifts us above the pain that we feel. And we're told that we can tap into that power. How is that? We trust God. When I'm in pain, it's available. What else can I count on? God's power, when can I count on it? The fourth thing is, I can count on God's power when I'm tempted. One of the reasons that some of the pain is in our life is because we haven't had the power to say no to things that harm us, to say no to temptation. Paul understood this in Romans 7. He said, I often find that I have the will to do good. I want to do what God has called me to do and what I believe is good. He says, but I don't have the power to do it. I keep stumbling and tripping and falling and not doing what I want to do. Can any of you relate to that? Oh, I can. Oh, I can. And I hate it. I want to do it, but I don't have the power. Temptation is out there. You name the temptation that you might be struggling with. Eating? Internet pornography? Gossip? Cheating on your taxes? Doing all kinds of things when you're tempted that you know you shouldn't? God gives you the power to say no. The promise is this. God says, I will give you a way out. Here's the question. If God gives you a way out, if God gives you a way to say no, do you take it? God says, I want to give you the power. I want you to give you the way out. But you need to access Him by trusting Him and trusting that type of power. It is available. You see, the bottom line to these four promises of God, God is saying, when you're burned out and you're tired and you're up against all kinds of things and pressures, I want to give you my power, God says. And in the midst of you feeling inadequate in your life and I don't have the ability to do what I need to do, God is saying, I want to give you my power. I want to give you my power so that you can handle the devastating hurt and pain that's in your life. When you feel like you're tempted beyond your control, God says, I want to give you my power. And that's the good news today. We don't have to live powerless. We don't have to live weak lives and defeated lives and broken lives, because God has come with the power to make all things right. Paul understood God's power when he said this in Philippians 4. He said, I have the strength to face all conditions by the power that Christ gives me. I know that what some of you are thinking when you read those verses of Scripture, God may give you the power, Pastor. He may give some other people the power, but my prayers, I've been praying for a long time and they've not been answered. I don't see God's power in my life, you may say. Well, God's power is not automatic. God does the impossible. He provides the power for the impossible, but He calls us to do the possible. We do the possible with faith so that God can do the impossible that only He can do. I want to give you some action steps that we could take, what we can do to receive God's power. And I've listed them. Sorry about this. A, B, C. Now, it may not be as easy as A, B, C, but it may be a little bit easier to remember this if I put it in this fashion. The first thing I can do to receive God's power is A, admit that you're not able. Admit that you're weak. If you want God's power, you have to admit that. You have to admit that the power I want, I don't have. The power I want, I'm too weak for that. This is where I admit my lack of power. I admit that I don't have it all together. And when we pretend that we do and we're self-sufficient, we short-circuit God's power to come into our lives. Because basically we're acting like we don't need God. We've got this covered. We can handle this. We can do this. We don't have that power. We need to drop to our knees and admit that, God, we are not able. We are weak. We need what only You have and only You can give. The Bible is filled with verses on pride. God hates pride. It's all through the Bible of how God hates pride. Pride says, I don't need God. And Proverbs says, pride ends in humiliation, because every knee will bow and every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord. And while humility is admitting my weakness, it brings honor. If I admit that, God, I humble myself before You. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. When you do that, it brings honor, because it says, God, I need You. If you want God's power in your life, you've got to let go of the steering wheel and say, God, You take control of my life. I want to leave that in Your hand. But it starts with this admission, admitting that you are weak and you need some power that is other than your own. And the second thing I can do to receive God's power is be connected. Connected to the source of power. You want power? You got to get connected to the one who has the power, the creator of the universe. Do you know why you don't have power? Because of ungodly choices and doing things on your own agenda where God is not going to bless what you're doing. How often do we see that happening? People doing things and saying, God, I'm praying that you will bless what I'm doing. When it's not the right thing that you should be doing. Think about it. It wouldn't make sense for God to supernaturally renew our strength so we could pursue something outside of God's design for our life. Jesus understood this condition in theory when he said in John 15, Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches that grow on that vine. And those who will grow in me and remain in me, meaning those who are connected to Jesus, and if I'm connected to them, then they're going to do something that will bear fruit for the glory of God, bear fruit for the glory of the kingdom of heaven. For apart from me, if you're not connected, you can do nothing. And so the Bible tells us that God stands at the door and he knocks and he says, you need to let me come into your heart. You need to let me come into your life. You need to be connected to me and dependent upon me. And when you connect in that way, then you will have the power you need to live. And here's the last thing. The third thing that we can do to receive God's power from the letter C is choose God's way of faith, that God's power will show up when he promises it. In a word, this is the toughest thing to do. The Bible makes it very, very clear that God's power and my faith are connected together. For me to get God's power, for me to get that connection, I've got to step out in faith. And what is faith? In Hebrews 11, it says, faith is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. In other words, faith is that you believe that God, what he said, is true, and you choose that, and when you make those choices, then God does what we can't do. He fulfills the promise. You know, every time I stand up here behind this pulpit, and I told this last week or a week or so ago, I said, I'm scared when I stand up in front of people, because that is not a gift that I have. I don't feel able to speak publicly in front of people. And yet, all of my life, I've had chosen to do this. And every time I stand up to speak, I have to go through those ABC kind of thoughts. I have to admit that I've got nothing to say. I'm nothing. And I don't know what to say on my own. And the B part of that is I've got to, however, if I'm going to have something to say, I've got to be connected to God. I've got to be connected to Jesus. I've got to be able to walk with him and talk with him. That's why I encourage reading the Bible. The only advice I get about what to say is from God's Word. He tells me what to say. And I've got to have that relationship intimately with God, or else I don't know what to say. And then the C part of it, as scared as I am to do that, to stand up and to speak in the name of God, I have to do it. Why? because it's not what I say, it's what God says through me. And in other words, for me, that's faith. I have to stand up here and I have to take a step of what I can do. Okay, God, I'll stand up there. I'll say what you put on my heart. But if it means anything to anybody, it's not what Jerry says. It's what the Holy Spirit says through that, through His Word, to touch their heart and their mind, and it tells them, this is what the Spirit of God is telling you, you need to hear and you need to do. And that is what I call faith. I have to do the possible and speak. And God does the impossible. And He does the power through His Word to speak to you what you need. Now, that's a little picture into my life. That's my story. What about you? What is God saying to you this morning? What do you need to do with what God is saying to you? In Isaiah 40, we read these beautiful words. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. Now, that's from the Word of God. I want you to hear Pastor Jerry's paraphrase of that. Those who choose God's way will find power. They will do what God has called them to do, and they will never grow weary. We do the possible with faith that God will do the impossible. To me, that's the way it works. And I pray you will do what you need to do this morning. Would you pray with me? Oh God, thank you for your love. You love us because you created us. We are your children. And you're calling us to come to you now as your children. And Lord, we're thankful that we don't have to live broken lives and powerless lives. We're thankful that we can come and we can live a life infused with your supernatural, divine, unlimited power. God, I pray as we go on our separate ways from this place today, that we might be different people as a result of coming here this morning and hearing your word, that we might admit that we are weak and we need you. We need to be connected to you. We need to choose your way with faith, that your power will show up. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that you live up to your promises. You will do what you have said. Your power does show up in your people when they surrender their hearts to you. And so, Lord, that's what we want to do this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. And the way